In this 41st chapter of the book of Genesis, I use as my text the 16th verse. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." When we left Joseph the last time, he was a prisoner in Potiphar's prison. He had been lied to and forgotten by the butler who'd promised to speak on his behalf to Pharaoh. At the end of this 2-year delay, Pharaoh has been given 2 sets of dreams that trouble him greatly. I think troublesome dreams must be something young people have. I don't seem to have those anymore. But he's even more disturbed by the fact that nobody, all his advisors, all his magicians, all his prophets, are absolutely powerless to interpret either one of these dreams. But at the exact right moment, the exact moment in God's plan and purpose, this butler who's been quiet for 2 years suddenly steps out and tells Pharaoh about what he'd experienced while he was in prison. He tells about his dreams, and he talks about Joseph's interpretation. It is now God's time. God's time to act through Joseph to prepare Egypt to be the savior of the world, not just of Egypt, but of the whole world. Over the next 15 years, God will use Joseph in a great way to set a plan, ordain a purpose, to preserve humanity from starvation. We need to learn from this experience. We need to learn that God is always in control. I feel sorry for folks in a way, but then I just want to laugh sometimes when I hear religious people act as if God's completely gone and he's out of control and we don't know what to do and God doesn't know what to do and things are such a mess that we just don't know where we're going or what we're going to do. Listen to this. God is always in control. Always. Always and without exception. He's absolutely sovereign in all his actions, and he's absolutely majestic in all his intentions. And I want to speak to you tonight, if the Lord will help me, a message that I have entitled Pharaoh's Dreams Interpreted. In the first 8 verses of this chapter, we find Pharaoh's 2 dreams. You know, God works everything out in his sovereign purpose. He works it out on his schedule. And he works it out according to his perfect design. There's no uncertainty. Now, I'm not a mechanic by any means. But those of you who know how to do things with your hands, I dare say Buddy every day when he's doing something, whether he's building a piece of metal or a gate post or whatever he's doing, every day he may have plans and he may have drawings, and I'll bet you every day he makes some adjustment to them. Something's just not exactly the way that it ought to be. I want you to know that God Almighty always does everything exactly how he aims to do it. You know, it'd be the easiest thing in the world for God to starve the entirety of the human race. All he's got to do is turn the rain off. all the crops will dry up. We might not die this year, but we might die next year or the year after. Somebody will die today. And God can do just the opposite, as we found in the world of Noah. He turned the rain on, not turn it off, and destroy humanity. God needs nothing more than a man's dreams to implement significant changes in the world we live in. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." God make a man's heart tender. Make it compassionate. And he can make a man's heart hard as steel. Hard as steel. I know this is not easy for a lot of people to believe, and it's not easy for a lot of people to balance, but it's still true. Hitler's heart was in God's hand. And when God got through with it, it crushed it. I could go on and name a whole bunch of politicians if I wanted to get in trouble, but there's plenty of them. Everybody in this country is paranoid, one way or another. It seems to me like everybody I know is either totally convinced that Barack Obama is going to bring about the destruction of the United States, and on the other hand, there's people that think that he may make us walk on water. And they're both wrong. They're both wrong. You see, God not only gave Pharaoh these dreams, he made the minds of his advisors go blank. If you'll remember in Exodus, when Moses went down and told Pharaoh, "Let God's people go," everything he did, Pharaoh's advisors were able to do the same things. Why can't these men interpret a simple dream? And actually, when we get to it, it's really a pretty simple dream. It's because God blanked their minds. God blanked their minds. They could not interpret because God had smitten them with a spirit of confusion. And he made the wisdom of the wise to just disappear. Prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 29:14, "Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." I thank God that we have a few wise men and women and a few prudent men and women in positions of authority in our country who keep it from really going down the drain. And God will use them. When he's through with them, he'll raise up some more. God used two simple dreams, one about cattle and another about corn, to set the path of the next several years, in fact, for the next 500 years. And verses 9 through 16, we are told that Joseph is identified to Pharaoh as a fit interpreter. This man, this butler, said to Pharaoh in verse 9, "I do remember my thoughts this day." Strange thing, he never remembered them before, isn't it? But a man's character is sometimes better revealed in his repentance than in his actions. It's taken 2 years of ignoring Joseph, ignoring what he did, ignoring his predictions. But the butler finally remembers God's servant. You know, God gives insight to his servants, to those who submit daily to his sovereignty and to the will of God in their life. And they're not always conscious of it. Don't think I'm any great prophet or anything like that by any means, but it amazes me every once in a while how God gives me wisdom or gives me insight into things that I thought, I never heard that before. I don't remember that. He just gives it to you. This 2-year delay afforded nothing but glory to God. And it gives none to this royal cupbearer. He says in verse 12, there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. We told him, he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret it. It came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was, me he restored into mine office, and him he hanged. Only God's men have true wisdom. Only God's men have divine light. Sometimes victory begins with losing a battle. The battle for overall sovereignty in our lives. As long as we think we're the kings and the queens and we try to sit on the throne and put ourselves on a pedestal, we're not going anywhere. But when God humbles us and we put Him on the throne, we bow down to Him, then the victory begins to be certain. Now Joseph, when he's called, it said in verse 14, they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. By the way, Hebrew men don't shave. Beards are a normal way of life among Hebrew men. And so when Joseph shaved himself, he recognized God's hand was in this thing, and he didn't want to be an affront to Pharaoh, and so he followed the custom of the Hebrews. And my point is this, if Joseph can be so sympathetic to coming in front of an earthly monarch, how can humans be so careless in how they approach God? Now, you all know me. I'm just me. And I don't believe in rubbing bones together and putting on bows and bells just for the sake of putting on bows and bells. But I tell you, it appalls me at how people dress in most churches today. I mean, it's embarrassing. I was watching a local church program on TV the other day. And I thought maybe they were having Bible school or something. I found out it's just a regular Sunday morning worship service. I thought, do these people not know they're coming into the presence of a thrice holy God? Men and women don't know. If people are lost, they don't know who God is, they don't know anything about God, that's a different story. But if God's revealed Himself to us, then we certainly ought to remember that. Pharaoh said to him, I've dreamed a dream. There's nobody can interpret it. Can you? Can you? That's a good question. It's a good question. Joseph knows full well what he can do, what he can't. Thus far in his life, he's 30 years old. And everything he's needed to do, God's given him the ability to do. He's just a young kid. Wet behind the ears. Ignorant. When his brother sold him into captivity. And yet, he's been the head of Potiphar's business. He's been the head of the prison's business. And he's fixing to become the head of Egypt's business. Because God gives him confidence, not in himself, but in God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul had this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. Some people think it was his eyesight or whatever it was. Whatever it was, he kept praying for God to take it away. He said after the third time, God said, you can stop that. You can stop that. He said the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. And neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself judged of no man. Now Joseph is gifted of God. But it was his spiritual capabilities which were of primary importance. It wasn't just that Joseph had good common sense. It wasn't that Joseph had fairly good intelligence. It wasn't that Joseph knew how to deal with people. Joseph knew God. Joseph knew God. We must not overlook Joseph's humble frame of mind in this process. He never forgot who he was. And I'm sure it was shocking to some of Pharaoh's advisors when he said to Pharaoh, "It's not me." He said, "I've heard you can interpret dreams. Tell me what I dream." He said, "It's not me. Not me." But he said, "God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Peter said in 1 Peter 5:5, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." Joseph said, "Lord," said Pharaoh, "it's not me. If you're looking for me to interpret your dreams, you're looking in the wrong place. But God, God will give you an answer of peace." That was Joseph's answer. Now, Joseph had remained clean. There had been a lot of temptations. Been a lot of trials come before him. But he'd remained clean. And his faith in God was still strong. It had carried him through the time when he was sold to the Midianites. It had carried him in the slave markets of Egypt. It had carried him into Potiphar's house and put him in a position of authority. It had carried him through the false accusations of Potiphar's wife. It had brought him to Potiphar's prison and raised him up to a position of being exalted and honored. And it put him back in a cell. And now his faith has brought him to Pharaoh to interpret this dream. And verse 17 through verse 24, we find Pharaoh telling Joseph his dream. "Pharaoh said unto Joseph, In my dreams, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven cows, seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-flavored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke." He said, "I saw seven cows, about as good as I've ever seen. They're standing on the Nile River. And then all of a sudden, there's seven of the ugliest cows I've ever seen. They look like something to come off a hill down Dixville. Poor ribbed as they could be. They look worse than any cows I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything look like them. And those seven poor cows ate up those seven fat cows. And the worst part was, when they got through eating them, they weren't any better off. They looked as bad as they ever did. And he said, I woke up. And then he said, I saw in my dream, behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, seven ears, withered thin and blasted with the east wind, sprang up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me." He said, "After I had that dream, I had another dream. And I had a stalk of corn grow up, and it had seven wonderful-looking, beautiful ears of corn on it. It looked like it could win the state fair. And before long, seven little, scrawny, scant, famished ears appeared on the same stalk, and they ate up the good ones. And nothing was better." He said, "I woke up and I talked to my magicians, but there wasn't a single one of them that could explain it." Pharaoh's dreams were of a very familiar place to him. The Nile River was the key to the prosperity or adversity of the Egyptian culture. They even measured how many feet up on the banks when it was in high season, how far it would come. It comes up 12 feet, we're going to have a bad year. Comes up 14 feet, we're going to have an average year. Comes up 18 feet, we're going to have a pretty good year. Came up 20 feet, well, we're going to have a bountiful harvest this year. People oftentimes make the mistake of overlooking the plain, simple truth of God's workings, hoping for something mysterious and bizarre. Last month, we broke every record that they have in the record book for a number of hot days. Never had 6 days in a row in June in Kentucky over 100 degrees. And everybody keeps telling me it's supposed to be getting cooler, but I've been sweating all day, and it don't seem to me like it's any cooler, and it sounds like it's trying to rain out there. But it's still not going to cool down much. I told somebody back in the winter. They were talking about how cold it was. I said, you just wait till summer. God will balance this thing out. It'll be hot and dry. And I looked for it to be hot and dry most of the summer. And verse 25 through verse 32, we find Joseph interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. There's the message. God reveals the future to Pharaoh through this young man, Joseph. He shows him the divine plan for the next several years. He said the seven good kine are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kine that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. He troubles Pharaoh's heart by interpreting his dream this way. The good thing revealed is that they're going to have seven abundant years of prosperity. 7 years like they've never experienced. 7 years when the crops will just overwhelm. The bad news is that after those 7 years, they're going to have 7 years of total adversity and total famine that will follow. Joseph's interpretation is totally inclusive. It includes 7 years of blessing, but it also includes 7 years of famine. He said in verse 28, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. When the world was to experience good times, it is important that we who are God's people understand that good times come as a blessing from God. But it's just as true that in those difficult times, those sad times, that God is in complete control of the entire situation. A man called me 2 or 3 months ago and told me that he had a financial need and wanted to know if I could help him. And I told him, I said, I don't have enough money to give you everything you need, but I'll loan you what I can. I have to keep enough to pay my bills, but I'll loan you enough. He said, I'll pay you back in a month. And he called me the other day. And he said, I just called to tell you I hadn't forgotten about how much, about the money I owe you, and I just don't have the money to pay you. And I said, that's okay. I said, God paid my bills. And that's all I was worried about. You can pay me back when you can, but if one of us has got to worry about it, you worry about it, because I don't have time to be bothered with it. Would I like to have my money back? You better believe it. Was it a difficult encounter for the next 2 or 3 weeks for me? It was. But God's on the throne. And God's been with me when I didn't have a bite of food to eat and no prospect for getting any. And God's been with me when I've got a refrigerator full and a freezer full and I don't know what to do with all of it. He's the same God. The same God that dealt with Pharaoh deals with me and with you every day. Joseph told him, said it's going to be 7 real good years. 7 of the best years you've ever heard of. They're going to be 7 of the worst years you ever heard of. And verse 33 down through verse 40, we have Pharaoh's response to what Joseph told him. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. What Joseph told Pharaoh was to be done by God's direction. Joseph quickly outlines what Pharaoh needs to do. And he does that with a full understanding that it's not going to make people happy. I want to give you a little secret if you haven't learned this yet. Human beings are ignorant. They are. When times are good, this generation we live in is the worst generation. This is not the worst generation in human history by any means, as far as morality and those kind of things. But it's the stupidest generation I've ever read about. If they've got $20 in their pocket and they only need 10, they'll break their necks to spend the whole 20. If they don't have a dime in their pocket, they'll gripe and moan and complain about how somebody needs to do something to help them out. What Joseph told Pharaoh was, you collect all the food for 7 years. You collect it all. You build storehouses and you put it in there and you keep it because it'll be needed. He appoints a plan for Pharaoh to set officers in place to manage the wealth of Egypt during these 7 years. You know, when we obey God, it blesses us by causing us to be able to behold God's majesty when it's manifested. I love to see God display His majesty. It's a marvelous sight. These dreams were not given for Pharaoh to think about. I found this out about people. They want God to reveal dreams to them. But they don't want to do anything about it. They just want the dreams. God gave these dreams to Pharaoh through Joseph, not so he could think about them or stumble over them, but so he could do something. And Joseph tells him that. He says, you need to do something about this. They were prescribed for Pharaoh to act upon their lessons. He not only tells of Egypt's coming misery, but he shows the means to mitigate the problems. He said, the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. The right kind of confidence mixed with the right kind of submission produces the right kind of humility. Now, Pharaoh and his advisors readily recognize that Joseph is a man of both wisdom and patience. He'd been in prison for almost 3 years. He hadn't complained about it. He hadn't been a bad prisoner. He just did everything the jailer told him to do. When things went well, he praised God. When things went against him, he praised God. And now the Pharaoh of Egypt, the most powerful monarch on the face of the earth, has taken notice of this young man. Verse 38 says, Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Where can we find a fellow like this? We might be shocked at Pharaoh's response. Don't forget, Joseph's a prisoner. Pharaoh hadn't forgotten it. He fetched him out of prison. But Pharaoh wisely made the best of a situation without any hesitation. He said, this man's got God's gifts to interpret dreams. I don't care if he was a prisoner. He's a wise man. And a man in whom the Spirit of God lives. Pharaoh perceives Joseph to be discerning and wise, but he also determines him to be filled with the Spirit of God. By the way, it's the first time the Holy Spirit's mentioned in the Bible. Pharaoh sees Joseph to be both spiritually rational and rationally spiritual. That's two different things. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Pharaoh ignores his children, his advisors, his wise men, his magicians, his soothsayers. And he looks upon this Hebrew prisoner and said, Joseph, I'm going to be on the throne. But other than that, you're going to rule Egypt. The spiritual man must remain alert to the necessity of maintaining a consistent lifestyle and a clear articulation of their faith. It took me a long time to learn that. It took me a long time to learn that no matter what people think, no matter what people value, that the faith that God's given me is more important. It's a wonderful moment of spiritual growth when one is brought to submit to God's revealed providence. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4 said this in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My friends, God always has an effective plan to implement His divine purpose. It might be calling a Hebrew prisoner out of prison. It might be speaking to you or to me. God can close one man's mind and clear the mind of another when it works out for His glory and for the good of His elect people. I was thinking the other day, I ran into a fellow in a business the other day. He's a simple fellow. I don't know him real well, but I believe he knows the Lord. His father was one of the wickedest men in this county. He was a deacon in one of the largest churches and a big businessman. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw his whole building with one hand tied behind my back. He caused a great deal of problems for me at one time. And this young fellow said something to me, been about a month ago, and said, I'm sorry for some of the problems you've had because of my family. And I said, young man, nothing happened to me that didn't happen on God's purpose. And God took care of it. And God handled it better than I could have handled it. And that's all that matters. He smiled, patted me on the shoulder, and said, thank you. First time a guy had spoken to me, probably in 20 years. Every person here tonight, if you're a believer, God has a purpose in your life. He has a purpose in every part of it. See, God speaks as it pleases to Him. Sometimes He speaks to a man like Joseph. Sometimes He speaks to a beast like Balaam's mule. Sometimes He speaks through His workings, like the ship that was in the storm. They woke Jesus up and said, don't you care, we're all going to die. He just stood up and said, peace be still. That's all there was to it. God works in His providence for our good and His glory. It just amazes me as we come to the conclusion of this passage of Scripture how easily God moves His servants from a prison to the throne room. I think about people that are in political offices in our world today, and some of them are just as corrupt as they can be. Somebody got them where they were. They think it was their political status or their bank accounts. God put them where they were. And when God gets through with them, He'll take them down. He's got somebody else for that position. Joseph said to Pharaoh, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Amen.